If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio, as always, by Randy Engston. What's up, man?
Good morning. Good day.
Welcome. Good morning. We're here. So we're continuing on our seven-part series, The Seven Habits of Winning Gyms. We are on habit number two. Let's get into it. Habit number two, winning gyms choose visibility. So visibility is funny because it's not something you can just pick up and move, right? Yeah. I can't just, you know, you're in a lease, you may own the building, but this comes up for when it's time to renew your lease, relocate, open a new location. We need to choose visibility because think about this for a second. Somewhere, well, if you were to look at any major brand in any industry, Starbucks, for example, a high-end restaurant, a car dealer, like whatever it is that you're very well recognized. And think about Orange Theory. There's a reason, Massage Envy, there's a reason they choose like the prime locations.
No, I'm sure corporate brands spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on market research to know where those locations
yes.
are, right?
Yes. What they're trying to do is go where the people already are. Correct. They don't need to go and reinvent the wheel. The people are already, the traffic patterns where people live, this is where they get off the freeway, this is the right they take, and this is the corner. That's all already in existence. You're not going to change traffic patterns from... You know, this is the way people are going. So they're putting their offer, they're putting their visibility in front of where the traffic is. And that's, you know, a very, very common thing when it comes to online marketing. There's websites that get traffic. Google, for example, you're going to put your stuff there, right? You're going to optimize for that traffic that already exists. Winning gyms choose visibility. Somewhere in the past 10 to 15 years, there was some kind of like feather in your cap if you were to get the cheapest rent, yeah. right? I'm all for trying to be profitable. I get it. But the way that gyms chose their locations wasn't to maximize profitability. It was just like, hey, I'm going to get the cheapest rent. And I know that I'm going to have to market more to get more people there. But how much more?
Sure.
How much more? That's the question mark that nobody could answer until I started doing some research on this. They could not figure out. They were just assuming if I go and pay cheap rent, it's $3,000 a month instead of $9,000 a month, that I will be able to outmarket the $6,000 difference to get more people in the door.
There you go.
Instead of paying that $6,000 in rent, I'll pay $3,000 or $2,000 in marketing and it will equal the loss of visibility. That's the thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so fast for reasons. Number one. Okay. So let's just get into, I don't know if you've heard of Warby Parker. So Warby Parker is a eyeglass company. Okay. They have a really high-end e-com website. You can like look at the glasses on, like a virtual thing. Yep. You could choose. And they do a lot of volume. Like Warby Parker. I think I have some Warby Parker or something like for like readers and sure. stuff. They're a value model, but high volume of glasses. Okay. So they started as an online retailer, as a lot of those e-coms do. Well, it's technically the definition of e-com is online, right? So they said, they did a test. They said, hey, what if we had a brick and mortar location? So instead of like getting leases and just doubling down right off the jump, they did what's called pop-up stores. And so they would do pop-up stores down in New York City and some surrounding areas, and they started looking at the numbers.
Which I'm sure they were strategic on where they went.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And this wasn't just lobbing it out in the middle of eastern Kentucky somewhere where there's, you know, cornfields and nothing.
No, they were very strategic. New York City, for example, where all the people were, they were doing these pop-up stores, and they started getting a lot of business from it. And they started saying, like, what if we did actual brick and mortar stores? So they started doing some test stores, and they started being real successful with it. And they were like, okay, wait a minute. There might be something here. Instead of just being online, what if we complemented our online with brick and mortar? And I guess if I were to ask anybody in that's listening to this show, I would say, are marketing costs going up or are they going down? Are they going up or going down? Everybody knows they're going up, right? The cost to acquire traffic, the cost to acquire a customer is only going up. It doesn't ever come down. So like you may get a teaser of a month in there or a good campaign, but then it just automatically goes right back, right? So knowing that, they said, what if we were to get brick and mortar and look at the cost per acquisition? And they found the stat is mind blowing. For every dollar that they spent in rent, they say overspent in rent, they save $2 to $3 on marketing costs from paying Google and Facebook. What does that mean? That means their physical plant's location, the brick and mortar, is worth 2 to 3x their marketing spend. So they basically cut it in a third or two thirds, their acquisition costs, by putting the brick and mortar in front of where the people were, not going in the back of a industrial park and trying to then continue to spend money on marketing to send people there like they were doing their online store.
Yep.
They put it right in the damn, they overspent in rent. That what they said was overspent. We overspent because we don't have to spend this type of money, but we overspent. And for every dollar they overspent, they saved $2 to $3 on ad spend. That's right there. That answers the question. Can I save the difference between the additional cost in rent and what I would spend in marketing? The answer is no. It just isn't. And I'll give you another like real world gym owner case study, right? There's a gym owner in LA area. He's in our Iron Circle. He was in the same location for 10 years. And I already told him I'm going to share his numbers. So I'm going to share his numbers. He was in this back of a, like, I have a picture of this, like very hard to find industrial, looked like an office park. Like if you, everybody's got one of these in their town, like we've got tons of these.
Sure.
It's just like a block building with storefronts and it's just like a parking lot. The signage is really small. There's may not be, it's usually just on the glass doors. And it's like, you're going to see people like, who type of businesses would you see in these? Like an architect might live back there.
Like print shops.
Print shop. Yes. Yeah. Print shop might be back in there. And I say back in there because it is, it's literally back in there. And you only, the only way that you know about that is you've got marketed to, or you were sold.
Yeah, design studios, like a picture, like,
okay, yeah, yeah, everybody's got one of these. So he's in this location for 10 years. And he can his record, all-time record month was $37,000 in a month. 37 was the all-time record. Well, his lease was up at 10 years, and we had a great conversation. Should I spend more money and go over here? It's going to be smaller. I'm going to downsize, and I'm going to pay more.
Ooh.
For the square footage. So it's not like I'm going from A to A, and then I just pay more. It's literally they're going from A down to B in square footage and up in rent, right? So it's like a double whammy. Yeah. He's getting less square footage for more cost. But he's in a shopping center, anchored grocery store tenant, big sign on the thing. And within 7 months of moving into this new location, he's already over nearing $60,000 in revenue. And he moved 2 miles away. So 2 miles away from a back of a freaking industrial park office complex to a small sliver of a studio. And he's doing, you know, $20,000+ a month in new revenue without $1 of marketing spend. That's the kicker. Without spending a dollar, he's getting walk-in after walk-in after walk-in because the visibility.
Yeah.
So the question is he spending $20,000 more per month to be in that other location? Absolutely not. It's a fraction of that.
Yeah.
So let's just say he's spending $2,000 more a month. I don't know the numbers. I'll get this, you know, confirmed, but I want to say it's like $2,000 more a month. He's making $22,000 more dollars per month.
The math says you win.
10 to 1.
Like the math says that's a great win.
So in this particular situation, it's for every dollar he overspends in rent, he's getting 10 to 1 return. And it's probably more than that. Now, if you take out the marketing that he's spending, because he's not spending anything on the marketing, right?
Yeah.
It's astronomical. It's actually thinking through this now that I'm just talking out loud, guys. Let's just say he was spending $3,000 a month in marketing at his old location. Now he's spending zero, but he's spending $2,000 in rent. It's a $5,000 spread.
Oh, yeah.
Right? No, it's $1,000.
$1,000.
Yeah. $1,000 less.
Yeah, exactly. He's saving $1,000 by making that decision.
Yeah.
And again, and then the evidence is already there, right? He's doubled his damn revenue because of the decision to put himself in a place of visibility.
Yeah. Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times bestselling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025. Build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville. Yeah, that's the whole point, right, guys? Sorry we got off on a little bit of a tangent. Winning gyms, choose visibility. So now that's a physical location. It's not a badge of honor to go anymore and go in the back of a complex. It was, for be honest with you, maybe 15 years ago, it was kind of cool and edgy, and I'm in the back of a garage, and like that was a little bit of a thing. There was a little bit of a draw there, and there was a very CrossFit-esque garage gym, dirty floors type of gym for this price. And then Orange Theory shows up with beautiful vent, you know, physical
storefronts,
orange, it's all matching, it's professionally designed, and it's about the same price as what they were paying over there, and it's on their way home.
Yeah.
And it's like a block from their house, and they don't got to fight traffic to get over there.
You mentioned one thing there though, right? Like the edgy factor is a trend. The edgy factor is a short term. You're betting on something. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're taking a risk on that trend being the way that things go. Visibility isn't going away. You're not going to just all of a sudden not have, I mean, I guess maybe if your city redesigned the road, you know, or something like that, and traffic stopped going in front of your location. Mm-hmm. But either way, you're taking a risk. You're betting on something paying off. I would much rather place the bet on the longevity of traffic and visibility than I would the trend of being cool by not having the storefront, by being the dingy, dirty, dark,
sure,
you know, in the back of a complex type of thing. That's your right now. I mean, obviously if you're coming up to a end of a lease, if you're looking to open up a gym, if you're in a position to where your location might change or has the option of changing, this is probably the most valuable podcast you've heard in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Ryan, for example. You have to be okay going a little smaller on your footprint though, because you could outspend the value, I guess, of the return, right? You could, you know, not in Ryan's case, like if he went for square footage for square footage, and maybe he ended up spending even $10,000 more a month, he's still doubling that.
He's still on, yeah.
Yeah, but you could outspend. But like the point of the message is it's the traffic and visibility. So that's the physical plant, right? We're also talking about gym owners that win choose online visibility. They make sure their Google, their Yelp, their all their listings are accurate and up to date. Their website is professional. That's online.
That's a big one too. Yeah.
That's online real estate, right? You have to show up in search engines. You have to be optimized. You have to, like, that is all what, like, the best gyms, they all got that nailed. They got it nailed. And it's not okay to not have a website. It's not okay to have a website that doesn't have your address on it.
That's another big problem.
It's not your, well, yeah, not only for the fact that it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
In directory search optimization and SEO, you're not getting, like, if I've looked at so many websites, I don't know where they're at. They say the city name, but I don't know what state.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even know what country it is. If honestly,
and sometimes it doesn't even have that. I mean, I can't tell you, like, my research with gym owners, the calls I have every single week.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. I mean, the fact that you have a website that doesn't have your physical location or a phone number to get a hold of you, like, guys, that should be number, like, what else are you putting on your website aside from where you're located and how to get in touch with you?
I don't know
what I mean? But without throwing out a exaggerated number, I mean, it's got to be 10% of gyms I talk to that don't even have that on their website.
Yeah. Winning gyms do. Winning gyms follow the habit of online and offline visibility.
And not to cut you off, but I think we underestimate this. I spoke to a gym owner yesterday. They don't have a website. They're doing all of their traffic is primarily coming from organic Instagram. At the end of the day, we had a conversation about the potential of the potential earnings outright. Their footprint, what they sell, all of that. We got to those numbers. Got to, like, max capacity with everything all in. Here's what your gym could do with what you guys are doing right now. If that number, right, it was underwhelming, I'll be honest, right? It was underwhelming for both the gentleman I was speaking with. It kind of opened his eyes to, okay, maybe we do need to change some things because mm-hmm. That's not going to keep my family happy, you know what I mean, with that type of income. But then on top of it, it was, are you doing the things that are even going to give you the option to hit that number? And running a brick and mortar business with just an Instagram page is not doing that.
Mm-mm.
Right? You need some SEO, you need your website, you need to be omnipresent, as we've said before, right? You should have your website, you should have a blog, you should have some of those, you know, all the benefits of keyword searches and backlinking and things like that. And if that's not your specialty, then lean on somebody who does that stuff for a living. You know, a Facebook page, an Instagram, having all of those, and they don't have to, it doesn't have to be a full-time job necessarily staying active on all that. But if you don't even have a website, that's like literally putting up the sign in the front of your building. I don't remember the stat offline, but or offhand, but we knew that number. It was something like 80% of people that are researching a business pull up the website before moving on.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that representation, you don't get the business, right? It's a form of legitimacy.
Of course.
It's a form, especially for a brick and mortar, right? Somebody, if you expect somebody to walk in your business, and again, never underestimate the task at hand. We're trying to sell long-term memberships here for a living. If you're expecting somebody to come into your location and buy an annual program with you, and you don't even have a website, are they confident that your business is going to be there in a year?
No, they are not. Yeah. And it's funny because one of the very first, when I first opened the doors, that was a big question I was getting. If I sign up with you, how do I know you're going to be here? You're brand new. Well, I never thought about it because I'm not going anywhere. This is my life.
Right? I put everything into this. I damn well hope I'm here for you.
And you know what? This kind of goes, it's very interesting. So obviously you see businesses come and go in every single shopping center in America. I was just driving over from, I was getting a Starbucks earlier and I was driving past. I'm like, golly, wasn't that a like electric scooter place like 3 months ago? Now it's something else. And wasn't that a taco shop? And now it's something else. And that sign, you can just see the outline of where it was on the building. And I'm like thinking about the owner that took that risk. I was literally, this was going through my head. How do you just close your doors? How do you just disappear one day? How does that make you feel?
restaurants all the time. I can think of two offhand that are that in normal day to day, you drive by, there's cars in the parking lot, weekend, they're busy, that type of thing. But both of them seem to have good, decent locations. But this is where I think the other half of it comes into play. They're not doing anything to support the location beyond the drive-by traffic, right?
Well, I'm just talking about the physical toll on the family that
Businesses disappear.
Because I'm thinking about when I opened, and probably everybody else that's listening to this, you told everybody, guys, we're opening a gym. It's going to be on this day, grand open. You need to be there, man. Hey, send your family. Do all the stuff. It's like, yeah. And then one day you just take the sign off the ooh, wall, and it's just like disappear. Like, where did you give up, or where did it just fall apart?
Go wrong, yeah.
And where did you just decide that I'm not going to fight for this or sell it, or I'm just going to literally turn my keys in? I don't know. I just don't know how that would feel. I can't feel good. I don't know. Winning gyms don't do that. They choose the visibility. They've got the online presence. They support their physical location with online presence. And they don't choose the cheapest back of the complex office industrial park for their gym. They go and put their gym where the people already are. And that's what winning gyms do. Hopefully that helps you guys. I know changing your location isn't just something you just pick up and move, but it does. You do need to think about it for the lease renewal or your next location or whatever. I figured we'd throw it in there. The best gyms do choose visibility. Hopefully that helps you guys. Until next episode, we'll see you on the next show. Keep changing lives. We'll see you. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.